morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, Woven Into. And our scripture lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. And as you're looking that up, young boy went to stay with his grandparents. It was his first time staying overnight with them. Young lad, about 8 years old. And his grandfather was so excited that the next morning he would be taking him to his church. And the young man would experience the big church. And as they came through the narthex and they came inside and they stood there, the grandfather was showing him the little museum. Here's some of the tools that built the church and here's some of the pastors. But the kid's eyes were drawn to this large, very ornate plaque. With these golden names written on it, little plaques in gold with all these different names. And the boy stood there looking at it, fixed on it. His grandfather walked up to him and said, "Son, what do you see here?" He goes, "Pap, what's this?" And the grandfather got all proud and straightened up his tie and he said, "Son, these are all the members of the church who have died in service." And the little boy moved in and grabbed his grandfather's leg. And the grandfather said, "What's wrong?" And the boy looked up at him and said, "Pap, which service, this morning or this evening?" Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set forth before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." May God add his blessings to this as we seek him out in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, for these words, for these thoughts. As they come from you, Father, let them penetrate our heart. Let them lift us up. Let them carry us along and strengthen us for this week to come. Let us hear them for what they mean. We thank you, Father, for these words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Her name is Kanika Kapoor. Now, I don't know Kanika Kapoor, but she was a very intelligent woman. A very intelligent woman. She is a former chief operating officer with an international bank. She has education. She has letters after her name that span out there. And she was making money. And she was doing all these wonderful things with the money. And she was living well when suddenly something touched her heart. She saw the pain and suffering that was around her. And so she left her job and became part of companies that worked for humanitarian causes. Translation, she didn't make any money anymore. But she was inspired by something she had seen, and she decided to do something to make a difference in the world. She was inspired by something that had taken place back in 2016. And so she gathered up some of her friends from around the world that she had known and explained to them what she wanted to do. She wanted to give comfort to those who were less fortunate, comfort to those who had nothing. And so she called a friend in South Africa. And she called a friend in Dubai. And she called a friend in Ireland. And she called a friend in South America. And she called all of her friends. And she said, "Let's get together and do this. I would like to knit a blanket. I would like to knit a blanket that is so big that it will set a record. I would like to get together and hand knit this blanket. How do you think we could do it?" And so they began to talk about it, and as ideas do, it began to snowball. And suddenly the idea wasn't such an idea anymore. It became reality as people around the world, friends, relatives, kids, women from other countries in the United States, UK, Canada, Philippines, Nepal, India, Pakistan, I can't pronounce that country, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, and other countries took up a knitting challenge. Knitting. Knit one, purl two. Knit one, purl two. Isn't that how you do it? Don't look at me like that. I don't know how to knit. That's all I've ever heard them say. 3,200 blankets were made around the world. 3,200 blankets. And they were all carried to Dubai, where they were all tied together. 500 women created this massive blanket. Kanika goes on to write, "We had an 80-year-old man who took time to learn knitting from Pune, India, and a 10-year-old Arjan Duhanda, a young school student who learned knitting and completed two blankets. And Kapoor herself made 100 of them." She said the sentiment was noteworthy. As Kapoor explained, "I think all of us do a little bit for donating for charity, but this project is different because it is weaving to us together. Our hearts will be woven into it. It's a unique way for us to bond and show love and empathy for children. We wanted to put forth tremendous goodwill woven into these strands. We wanted to know that someone out there cared for them." The knitting committee got done, and they began to bring everything together. And when they brought it all together at a soccer stadium in Dubai, they created a blanket that was 3,952 meters squared. That don't mean anything to any of us because we all know things in foot, right? Do you know what that translates to? Luckily, I did this for you because I don't. That would be 42,541 square feet. That's the largest blanket. And for those of you that don't know, I think it's 43,000 square feet is 1 acre. The blanket was 1 acre big. And when they got done and they set the Guinness Book of World Records for the world's largest hand-knitted, knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two, blanket, they cut the blanket into pieces, and the pieces will go all over the world to children that need it and to third world countries so that they can have blankets to stay warm at night. And just because I have to live in the yarn community now, and I am a part of the No Yarn Left Behind community, let's talk about crocheting. You know, knit one, purl two, hook. No, that's not how that goes. I'm going to get smacked in the car later. You can just bet on that. But Kanika Kapoor's idea came from the largest crocheted blanket ever. To celebrate Nelson Mandela Day, they put together and got inmates to crochet blankets and other people to put forth a world-set crochet blanket that the same thing would happen. It would be distributed in pieces to keep people warm. And Kanika took the idea from a crochet blanket and applied it to one that was knitted. And just so you're curious, the largest crochet blanket ever made was 17,187 meters squared. That translates into 183,000 feet squared. That's several acres. All of this because these people wanted to weave into, they wanted to be connected, they wanted to draw themselves together. They wanted to do something to show that there was love, that there was community, that people still wanted to reach out and show empathy. And so their love was woven into it, their hearts woven into this project. Stories of hopes and dreams and love. I've read some of the articles about the people that worked on both of these projects. And they would do things that you could do in this day and age. Like they would FaceTime and they would Zoom to each other and they'd sit there and crochet and knit and do whatever it is you call it. They're sitting with each other and they talk. And I also heard that in the husbands, in the background, husbands were left in the background looking like this. And it was a constant thing of women turning around to tell their husbands, "Shh, I'm counting. You don't crochet, you don't know. But I do." Now, I need to be clear that in my house, we too are going for a world record. Why are you looking at me like that? In my house, my wife is Queen Crochet. Our world record is, and I'm sure it will be set, is that during a single crochet session, and I wrote it down because I'm going to submit it to the World Guinness Book. During a single crochet session, how many times Wendy glares at me during a single setting when I interrupt her while she is trying to count? Not that I would do it on purpose when she's sitting over there counting and I want her to pay attention to me. And I'll go 14, 8, 11, 9, 12. You know, crochet hooks hurt. The very beginning of this chapter, we are reminded. At the very beginning of this chapter of Hebrews, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the author of everything. That Jesus Christ ties us together. He is the weaver. He is the very person who connects it all. And the reason I'm stuck on this, I heard about these blankets in a passing thing, but somebody asked me how in the world there are different denominations and yet everybody calls themselves Christians. And my answer was simple. Because we are all tied together under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you profess His name, you are not Brethren, Baptist, Episcopalian, Pentecostal. I don't know, I'm sure I'm leaving a bunch more of them out. If you profess the name of Jesus Christ, if you profess the fact that you believe that He was born, lived, died, rose again, and died for our sins, then you are a Christian. You are a child of God. You are connected to Jesus Christ. You are woven into His fabric. And that's what we're being reminded in this passage. That the author, that the perfecter, that everything that we had by His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, by all of that, He went to it willingly. The writer of Hebrews said it was joy set before Him. Let me ask you a question. How many people here pick raspberries? Go ahead, put your hands up or say amen. You pick black raspberries, you pick them red raspberries. Don't you enjoy it? If one person in this church goes, "Why, yes, Paul, I do," I'll be talking to you after church to remind you that you may not be being completely truthful. The fact is you enjoy eating them, right? Say amen. That's the fun part. I don't know anybody in their right mind that enjoys reaching into a sticker bush to get them berries out. But you do it because the joy. Jesus saw what was coming and saw the joy that was set forth before Him, that He was allowed, that He was put forth to die to save us. That's how much He loves us. When I think about that, my heart begins to pound. That He loved me. That He loved you that much. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, to remind us, that even in the face of opposition, He stood forth and went forward. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. You are reminded that you are forevermore connected. And it goes that way. All of us are tied together somehow, some way to each other. And sometimes we don't even know it. I'll never forget the first time I walked through the door of this church and sat down in front of the search committee and saw across the table another Leatherman. I didn't think they were allowed on this side of the mountain. And yet there it was. Connected. Douglas Meyer was 15 years old out of Creve Coeur, Missouri. And I know I'm not doing that right. But he hadn't been feeling well. He had had a fever for several days, ranging between 103 and 105. 15 years old. He was suffering from these flu-like symptoms. And finally, his mama took him to the hospital over in St. Louis, where they diagnosed Douglas as having leukemia. 15 years old. The doctor told him in frank terms about his disease. They said for the next 3 years, he would have to undergo chemotherapy. They didn't sugarcoat the side effects. They told Doug that he would go bald and his body would most likely bloat. And upon learning this, he went into a deep depression. And his aunt, who loved him, called a shop, a flower shop, and had him put together an arrangement for Douglas to send over to him. She told the clerk that it was for her teenage nephew who had leukemia. When the flowers arrived at the hospital, they were beautiful. Douglas read the card from his aunt and smiled faintly. Then read a second card that said, "Douglas, I took your order. I work at Brick's Florist, and I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. My prayers will go out for you. Sincerely, Laura Bradley." His face lit up and he said, "Oh, okay. I'm ready now." It's funny, isn't it? Douglas was in a hospital filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment. He was being treated by doctors and nurses and experts with all this medical training totaling hundreds of years. But it was a sales clerk in a flower shop making $170 a week who, by taking the time to care and seeing how they were woven together, was willing to go with all her heart to give Doug the hope that he would go on. Into that card was woven into love, prayer, connection. Max Lucado, in that book, 6 Hours, One Friday, I read and reread and read and reread one section of it, and I'll summary it for you right here. When Jesus stepped off that throne, he came here. He left everything he had behind and came here. He set forth the loom, the needles, the hooks, the threads, everything that would tie us all together. He set it in motion when he stepped away from that throne. God knew it when he sent him down, what was coming. He knew that he would be rejected. He knew that he would be lost. But he also knew that the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of his Son, would tie everyone together. Acts chapter 2, in the 44th verse says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." His death, his resurrection, into that, woven into that, was all of us. When he came down off that throne, when he stepped out in front of it all, he tied us together forevermore. And even though he left and he is waiting for his time to come back, we are woven into the fabric of the resurrection. We are woven into the fabric of the rapture. We are woven into the eternity that is promised now and forevermore, simply because we said, "I'm lost, I need you, I believe in you, I take Jesus into my heart as my own." and we are woven into Him now and forevermore. And that beats any record that I can possibly think of. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have seen fit to be with us, that You have lifted us, that You have taken us through so much, and yet it pales in comparison to what Jesus did. And yet we are all connected together, all threaded together, all woven into that fabric that is the love, the sympathy, the beauty and glory of that saving grace. Let us be strong as we can be reminded of it in the face of everything that's going on around this world, determined to take us away from it or to challenge our thoughts. Let us just be reminded of this simple statement. Jesus loves us. This we know because the Bible told us so. Thank You, Father. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't come to know Him yet, today is a good day for it. Every day is a good day for it. And I invite you to come up as we sing this last hymn. And if you are on the other side of that screen and do not know Him, I invite you to reach out. And may God bless each and every one of you.